In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, what a difference a week makes, or so it seems. Last week we heard the words of Nicodemus addressed to Jesus Christ, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Today we have the crowd saying about that same man, "He is out of his mind," and the scribes from Jerusalem saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul." It is not just a week that makes a difference that we see in the readings from last week and this week. We see different reactions that people have always had to Jesus Christ. There are those that are attracted to him and those who malign him. This is still true today, and it isn't likely to improve anytime soon. The specific cause of the enmity to Jesus in our gospel reading today is specifically his casting out demons. The religious scribes thought that Jesus was doing this in conjunction with Satan. Satan was just putting on a show without actually giving up any ground. Jesus responds with what might almost be seen as a light-hearted banter. "Come on, guys, how can that be? If Satan were acting against himself, he is not going to last." Jesus then speaks authoritatively for his time and our time, drawing us all up with the force of the truth. "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." In our culture, many people reject the possibility of such an absolute statement. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. For some in our culture, such an absolute statement cannot be made because there are no absolutes, other than the absolute statement that there are no absolutes. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does not deal in shades of gray. His statement still stands. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. But before you start to ascribe the idea to yourselves, however, let me add why Jesus says this. For they, the scribes, were saying, "He has an unclean spirit." Whoever rejects Jesus Christ as the Holy Son of God must also reject Jesus' ability to rescue them from sin. An unholy man cannot rescue anyone from the morass of sin in which he himself finds himself. Jesus clearly enunciates the absolute state of those who persist in unbelief. They are guilty of an eternal sin. This verse applies to unrepentant sinners and unbelievers. But for the rest of us, there is comfort and assurance in today's gospel reading. In responding to the absurdity of the scribe's accusation that Satan was actually working with him, or he with Satan, Jesus says, "But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house." Although this might sound a little obscure without the context, what Jesus says just before this tells us very well what Jesus is talking about. Jesus has just stated that if Satan is working against himself, he is divided and must fall. Satan, however, is not that stupid. Satan is not going to work against himself, appearing to be weak in contrast to the strength that Jesus has and displays in driving out demons. No, Satan is the strong man. One who will not give up his power willingly. No one can take what is the strong man's unless he first binds the strong man. Then he can take what the strong man thought was securely his. If Satan is the strong man, then the one who binds him is the one who is speaking to the scribes, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is showing that he has power over the one that everyone else thought could not be overcome. Jesus Christ has bound Satan, overcoming him. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," then Satan was bound once for all. Or to use a different metaphor, the head of Satan was bruised, crushed, rendering Satan impotent, just as God had prophesied to Adam and Eve when he spoke to Satan, who was in the guise of a snake, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." With that public acclamation, "It is finished," Jesus descended into hell, proclaiming that he, the stronger one, had bound the fearful foe, had crushed the head of the fearful foe. "Then indeed he may plunder his house." Jesus' words show us that he is free to take what the strong man had claimed as his own and reclaim them. Jesus has taken you and me out of Satan's kingdom, plundering Satan's kingdom in order to rescue us. Jesus, the stronger one, now has you and me in his hand, in his own kingdom. But is this statement perhaps merely hyperbole? If Satan is bound, why do we keep on sinning? It looks like Satan is not quite as bound as Jesus says he is. Our faults seem to contradict that statement. For example, I could mention, no, I better not talk about that. Or perhaps, no, I better keep quiet about that one too. Each of you can fill in those blanks for yourselves. Each of us exhibits behavior or have thoughts or say things that should not be done or thought or said. We each know where our weaknesses are. But those weaknesses do not negate our Lord's own words. We can confidently sing with the hymnist, "Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled, and against your tyranny, God my Lord unites with me." We can proclaim to Satan, "All your might has come unraveled. The strong man has been bound. We have been rescued from Satan's kingdom. It is finished." When our experience does not quite accord with the facts, we recognize this as one of those now but not yet situations. Satan is bound now. Christ has done this. He has accomplished it. But we do not yet experience this completely and fully. Rather, we seem to be stuck in Satan's kingdom, not doing or saying what we should, and doing and saying what we shouldn't. While we live in this flesh on earth, we will continue to fight that battle. Our old sinful nature continues to buck God and follow Satan. That doesn't mean that Satan has any power over us. No, the strong man has been bound. But we must recognize that we are not yet what we shall be. We recognize that we are by nature sinful and unclean and must turn to God in repentance. We confess those things that we don't want to talk about in public. We can repent and turn to God in Christ Jesus because Satan has no power over us. He is bound. We do repent and turn to God in Christ Jesus, knowing that at the last day, Satan will be bound now and forever. And what is now just a sure confidence given us by faith will become a reality that we live. And thus we begin the season of the time of the church. During this season of green pyramids, as we grow and mature in our Christian faith, we will daily recognize that we are not yet that perfect child of God. But Satan has been bound. He can no longer own us. During this time of the church, Christ will teach us through his Holy Spirit how we can live and do the will of God. In that, we will show by faith that we are members of Christ's family, just as Christ told his hearers in our gospel, "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.